I weighed almost 180 pounds, and I mean, not, you know, 150 and that, and nothing now. But then he threw that pitch, and he didn't have what he had when he started in 1936, 37, somewhere. Anyway, and I hit that ball, and she just went. Mm-hmm. I ran it. In fact, it's in there. I was custom Bill Greer, the umpire. Bless his soul. He's a great guy.
A fellow who had lost part of his right leg in the war, Bert Shepherd, pitched one major league game against the Red Sox that year. Were you still with the club when that occurred? He pitched in relief 5 or 6 innings?
Yes, but I wasn't. I wasn't playing at that time.
Mm-hmm. What were your impressions of Shepherd out there?
Well, he was doing a tremendous job for a fellow you knew that just had half a leg hanging down there.
Did the Sox try and bunt on him?
No. I guess it was kind of a unwritten rule that you didn't do that. I mean, you didn't try to cut a man out of his vocation or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we and I don't think any other ball players ever did.
I see.
It was like Pete Gray.
What were your impressions of him?
Well, he was a miserable character, but I don't remember any thing other than to keep him from bunting everybody playing in clubs. That's all. Just playing in clubs. Mm-hmm. To make him sling that bat with one hand. Mm-hmm. And he was tremendous with that glove and putting his arm and getting that ball back into that infield. Yeah, very quick.
He didn't lose too much time. No. Tucking the glove under his stump.
No, he sure didn't.
Well, why do you say he was a miserable character? I understand he had a chip in his shoulder.
He did. That was his problem. He was. I never talked to him to that extent, but I know people that had, and they said a tremendous chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I think he was wrong on that because they did bring him up to the big leagues, and he's making money. Mm-hmm. I think he should have just kept his mouth shut and just let him go at that.
Who impressed you most on the opposition? The men who faced you that year? Either among pitchers or opposing fielders? Do any stand out in your mind?
Oh, it's quite a few, boy. He's some good ball players in those days.
What about Trout and Newhouser? Were they really that fast?
You bet it.
I've heard they both threw real hummers.
Uh-huh. That's why I'm so proud of that picture right there. That's off a Trout. I hit that in right center field in the upper deck in Brick Stadium. That's why I'm so proud of that. Because those guys, they got fire. And they had another one, Al Bentley.
Al Benton.
Benton. He could fire.
Could he really?
Oh, he
was old by that time. In fact, he played until he was after 40. But
that guy could—he could fire. That son of a gun could fire.
That was the season he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
They bought Tobin, I think, from the Braves as insurance. Mm-hmm. He won the pennant.
He could fire that rascal.
Mm-hmm. Any other opposition players that impressed you?
Third baseman at Cleveland.
Kenny Keltner.
Yeah.
Good hands?
Good hands. Good everything.
I mean, was it good hands or just that he was able to block everything? I mean, he got in front
of
him.
Good hands. Good hands. I mean, all that stuff about blocking this and blocking that. You had to have good hands down there at third base.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Al Rosen. Another good one.
Anyone else that you'd like to comment on?
Well, the guy I'd like to comment on is not, wasn't there. The guy that I tried to mollify or build myself after was...
Tell me the circumstances of the Red Sox in 1945.
Funny, you're saying the Red Sox in 1945. I had been in the farm system.
Who had you played with in 1944?
1944, I was with Louisville, Kentucky, in the American Association.
Had you played second base for them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I'd been at Scranton, 43. Mm-hmm. Greensboro in 42.
Wasn't Boo Ferris with Greensboro also in 42?
Boo and I started together.
I see.
Yeah, we started together.
Fine.
And then Canton, Ohio is where they sent me, and I told them, I said, that's Indian country, I'm not going out there. Mm-hmm. But they put me on a train, sent me out there anyway. I was in college at the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get to North Carolina State University. So I didn't get there till June, mm-hmm. when I got out of college, and I got out there. A ball club was fairly well set by then, so I was just an extra wheel, more or less, mm-hmm. I guess you'd have to call it. Mm-hmm. But I hung around for a little bit and finally got a chance to play, mm-hmm. and then I started playing.
Good. Where did the Red Sox train in 1945? Boo Ferris thought it was, he wasn't sure, he thought it was Atlantic City.
He better be sure, because that's where it was.
Okay, fine.
It was actually in Pleasantville.
Yeah.
But we stayed at the Claridge Hotel in Atlantic City on a boardwalk.
Claridge?
Yeah, the Claridge.
I see.
And we went across you call it Barnegat Bay. Pleasantville, where we played, a Yankees train right with us, mm-hmm. because you couldn't go south then. I mean, they wouldn't let you go south of Potomac River. I think it was you couldn't go south.
Well, did the Yankees train also in Atlantic City that spring?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought they had gone south to St. Petersburg in 45.
No, nobody could go south of the west of the Mississippi or south of Potomac River. That mm-hmm. was it. That was
the end
right there. So we. We were both there, and Joe DiMaggio had just come back from... No, he was still in the Army then, I'll take that back. Mm-hmm. He hadn't gotten out yet.
He came back in 46.
Yeah. And,
Do you have any interesting stories about spring training in Pleasantville?
Oh.
I mean, other than Jim Bowden-style stories.
Can't say I'm on here.
Did you expect...
No, we had a good spring down there. Luckily, it was like it is now. It was just a very nice time mm-hmm. of the year. We didn't have any cold weather, nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had some good ones. All this trouble that they're having down here with the senators and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We happened to be at one of their homes, and he's a pretty big man. Yes, we come down to him. Mm-hmm. And he's been in trouble because of the things that went on. We didn't know anything. We were just ball players. Somebody
sure.
says, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You
know. And who was this again?
Well,
you said a senator. You mean a state senator or a U.S. senator?
No, state senator.
Yeah.
And his name, no.
All right, well, what happened? I mean, this guy invited the ball players to his house.
Oh, yeah, we went there and had a ball.
Yeah.
It wasn't anything wrong with it. I wouldn't say there was anything wrong with it.
He just enjoyed entertaining.
Yeah. He had one arm bandaged down in the cellar. And... he said that paid for the whiskey and the bartender and everything else. Said, well, there's nothing wrong to me. There's nothing wrong.
What's a one-armed bandit? I mean, I don't know what that means.
Put a quarter in and...
Okay, fine. Slot machines. I'm with you. I wasn't sure what that was. Okay.
So when all this come up, I started to laugh. I said, geez, I said, there's something old again. And yet to me, it was nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you get something to override that cost, it's
sure.
a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Fact, you know, you don't have to go fight anybody or do anything. But he's a heck of a nice man, mm-hmm. very nice man. And I went over there a few times. But the thing was, it was very enjoyable. We did have one. The Dennis Hotel is right next to the Clary's, and that's where all the wounded were coming back from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And to see those men coming back shot up,
it was probably a sobering sight.
It made you. The best thing I can say is it made you sick. I mean, you see these guys. That was a rest hotel. Or was they sent down there to rest and get a final checkup
mm-hmm.
or anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we used to eat over there with them, and it was quite a thing. But you thought about all these guys that come back, and that whole Dennis structure was filled up full. I mean, it really shut up.
Mm-hmm. You said the Claridge Hotel. Is that C-L-A-R-I-D-G-E, Claridge?
C-L-A-R-D...
R-I-D-G-E?
Yeah,
okay,
that's it.
Fine.
That's it.
And the other one was the Dennis Hotel?
It was right next to the Tramo, which they just knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
The Tramo was right next up the Broadway, north of the Broadway. One street over. Bang.
I see.
They just knocked it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice, it was a very nice hotel. Of course, the Tramore was more ornate. I mean, it was that was built for the Rio Hoi Polloi, I guess, back in the tens and twenties. I mean, it was really a beautiful sight. But the Claridge, and then the Dennis. The Dennis was a big hotel. It was bigger than the Claridge. And they had all these cases in there, these boys that were wounded. And so we used to go over there as much as we could and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being a ball player, they were glad.
Sure, of course. They'd identify with
you could come in and spend your time with them. They were very good. So that spring was, I would say, very educated. Someone I hadn't been in the thick of the action.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably like every other young kid when I was in college. I was set to go. Boom, I was ready to enlist before that thing started. But I was a civilian pilot training.
Mm-hmm.
Sophomore, and I was a corporal in ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't take me on civilian pilot training because I was in advanced civilian pilot training,
mm-hmm.
which meant I was going to have over 300 hours in a year, which put me, they didn't have to send me to primary school. I mean, I was going to have it done.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the war started, they took all the senior officers in ROTC out of state, and they immediately threw them into battle units.
Mm-hmm. So the school was without instructors?
No, I became...
Well, you became the instructor.
I became a major.
Oh, fine.
Beautiful.
A student major.
Oh, yeah. No,
not
that's strictly...
Couldn't possibly be a real one.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest jokes in the world was, we were only about 60 miles from Fort Bragg,
mm-hmm.
at Raleigh, to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And the uniforms we wore, everything except the nameplate on the mm-hmm. cap.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a regular army officer.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, you had to salute an officer on the street. And these guys would cut away salutes as we go right back like that. We'd wear the pink trousers and
yeah.
They'd get mad. And then you'd say, that's not my fault, Mac. You know, all we had was ROTC across there.
Mm-hmm.
With an eagle.
Yeah.
But it looked like the same thing if a guy's walking up the street and he, how long has he been in the army?
Right, sure.
You know,
sure.
Anything, right. You know? So he...
But what happened then? I mean, is that... I mean, were you a civilian pilot during the war or what?
No. I actually went to... I'll make a long story short, cut it quick for you. I went to... I last till June of 42.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called me in, and they went to the Navy Department in Washington. I want to go to Marine Corps.
Okay.
And they found out I had an offer. The physician in the Navy says you couldn't possibly go above.
Right, you're 4F because of ulcers. I guess Snuffy Sternweiss had the same thing.
Yeah,
he was in North Carolina.
That's right. It's not that I worked for Snuffy. I know him.
Did you?
I knew
that
him very
sad,
well.
Sad.
Yes, really was. The guy to me was a great guy because when I quit baseball, he and Tommy Henry gave me a job driving a beer truck.
Oh, really?
Because I just quit all of a sudden. I had this big argument with Fred Seidan in St. Louis. Who's dead now, and I'm not going to say God bless his soul, anyway.
Wasn't he a crook of sorts? Wasn't he put
yes.
behind bars for a while? I remember that.
At any rate, I went and I passed the flight, and I had to take the physical, and then they found out I had the ulcer. And I passed my flight test and everything, but I had to take the physical, I found out I had the ulcer, and doctor told me, he says, you couldn't go above 15,000 feet any way you look at it. Once you start down, he says, you're going to keep round going.
Mm-hmm.
So, then I went to work in an aircraft plant down in Silver
Where?
Springs, Maryland.
Oh, so, yeah.
And I made gun turrets for B-24s, the big old fat flying crow. Wings used to flap about 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call it the flying crow. And so I was a final inspector on gun turrets coming out of. So I stayed there for a year.
Excuse me, just for a second. Did you graduate from North Carolina State? Were you finishing up, or did you leave?
I had 2 years. That's all.
Okay.
And I didn't go back because I found out I could still play baseball, so I kept going with baseball.
So in other words, you finished your sophomore year in June of 42.